Welcome to Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir, today on Remembrance Day. And with us in the studio is Mark Oswalls from ADM Investor Services. Mark, good to have you with us. So I think we're still all a bit in shock after Wednesday's result in America. So from Trump being elected, who do you think are going to be the winners and the losers come markets and companies?
Well, I think, first of all, we saw on election night that from sort of saying, oh, right, equities are going to be dumped and bonds are going to be roaring, we switched around by sort of early morning and decided maybe that's not going to be the case because Mr. Trump is supposedly going to be good for the reflation trade and he's going to be good for growth, which is always music to equity players' ears. However, you've also, I think what a lot of the equity market moves in the US actually disguise, because we tend to focus on the indices, is the amount of turmoil going on in individual stocks. You're getting very, very sharp movements. You can see it best, obviously, in that divergence between the Dow, which has gone up to a new high, and NASDAQ 100, which is crumbling under the pressure of people getting out of technology stocks, because they're one of the areas which are very dependent on non-American production of a lot of kit, which Mr. Trump is apparently against, and into industrials. The problem with this whole sort of idea that you've got this big rotation of what I would call out of technology and new world stocks into old world metal bashing industrial, because it's going to be all about infrastructure, is I don't see why you would, you know, I can see that a lot of technology stocks look very overvalued. I get that point, so maybe on an RV basis you can do it. But a lot of the things that people have been charging into have gone up enormously this year. You think of all the mining stocks, Anglo-American, say, for instance. Glencore, who this time last year, everyone was just like counting into the grave, and now the stock's gone up four times. And you're then getting parabolic moves like things in copper. Problem with copper, and this is a particularly interesting one, is yes, it's parabolic. Yes, it's being chased by the Chinese, so you don't tend to resist that Chinese money. However, you do know that it probably won't sit there for very long. And perhaps more importantly, the open interest in the copper future contract is going down, which is not a great signal. And secondly, in terms of producers and end users of copper, they're basically saying the market's dead. There's nothing actually going on much in the physical copper market.
Isn't that the other issue that, it seems to be that Trump is the new Abe, in that, after 25 years of trying to get things to move in Japan, reflate there, Abe came along with his three arrows and all of them went into the ground. Trump might not be able to do anything more, but we've got such a depth of deflation or falling prices that it's even he can't get things to. We can't raise the Titanic of inflation.
Well, if we go back to the commodity space briefly I would 100% agree, because the one thing about seeing commodity rise in general at the moment is you're not seeing it in gold because you're seeing long-term interest rates rising, so that makes gold far less attractive. And you're not seeing it in oil, which is still sitting on its backside.
Despite
Mr. Trump actually saying that he's really wants America to be totally energy dependent, and he wants to get rid of all the alternative energy sources and just have more oil wells dug. I think fundamentally, though, the idea, I like this comparison with Mr. Abe in Japan, a lot of promise. I think what one has to remember, ultimately, it's the legislature, not the executive in America, which decides things. There are a lot of very fiscal, very conservative people on the fiscal
swamp,
side.
The swamp might bite back.
Yes, and I think what you're actually seeing in terms of a lot of the trades that we've got going on, people can relate it to the Trump trade, but a lot of it is actually a pain trade because people have been short of quite a few of these stocks. And so what you're actually seeing at the moment is not a bear raid in bonds, but people who are, everyone's long of bonds. They've been long of bonds for about 5 or 6 years. It's been, it's become learnt that you don't sell bonds. Well, suddenly, we've got 90 to 100 basis points on UK and US yields. and the UK still got QE. It's supposed to be magic. It's meant to be brilliant for bonds. So that's, I think, the fundamental point here. Trying to relate it to Mr. Trump's victory is probably the wrong thing. It probably tells us that we've had a very bad year for a lot of the active fund managers. The passive fund managers just go with the flow, so we're seeing big swings at the moment. But that can all evaporate on sixpence, because if it actually starts to look like Mr. Trump's not going to be very successful, then suddenly all of this starts to come off. I think the other interesting aspect of this is how it's done exactly what one thought what would happen when the Bank of Japan decided to lock up the JGB, Japanese government bond market, and target 10-year yields at zero. There had to be some sort of release valve somewhere, and it's come out in dollar yen. Ironically, on the other side of the equation, you're seeing sterling at its best levels, because if you actually start looking at, and again, this is all about positioning, what was on the CFTC data that we get in terms of commitment of traders, the massive sterling short, big yen long. So all this is, again, position unwinding. So when the dust settles, probably sometime in the middle of next week, given today's Veterans Day and the bond markets are closed in the US, we'll probably get a better idea of what, for want of a better name, the smart money is really going to do once we've seen this position unwinding go. Because as much as I am a bond bear in the long run, I think at the moment we've jacked up long-term rates so far, so quickly, that those people who've been saying, I'm not buying at that level, I'm not buying at that level, will start to come in, particularly as we get closer towards month end.
And how do you see the US banking sector faring? Because Trump has actually said he plans to scrap Dodd-Frank. What do you see the implications of that being?
Well, we'll see if he manages to scrap it. It was Dodd-Frank was difficult to achieve. I think it's certainly possible. I think more importantly, the banking sector at the moment is looking at that much steeper US yield curve, thinking that net interest margins for the banking sector is going to be a lot better, thinking that actually the turmoil, as we saw in Q3 with the Brexit vote, will improve trading conditions for the banks. It really depends whether one thinks that the volatility spikes that we keep on getting, which seem to be more and more frequent, are the new normal. Probably are, but will they be sufficient to bump up trading revenues for the banking sector on a longer term basis, particularly as at the moment you're probably going to see the banking sector being very unwilling to do much market making, particularly with the sort of risk regulations that we've got.
There's a lot of tension between Trump and Janet Yellen, isn't there? So do you think a rate hike perhaps will be postponed?
No, I don't, actually. I think Ms. Yellen, unless we see a lot of market turmoil between now and December, and there are quite a few weeks to go, so you know the jury's out on that one. I would think, actually, the way that the US economy is going at the moment, it's doing okay. It's not spectacular, but it's doing okay. They will want to get another rate hike in the bag, even if the next one doesn't come until the middle of next year.
Good. Okay, so let's move on to the slides, see what we're looking at. So the most popular in business and finance. So in another alarming move, the yields on Italy's 10-year government bonds have hit their highest level in a year. There are fears that Italy's Prime Minister Matteo Renzi will lose his referendum on constitutional reform next month, triggering a new bout of political instability. That's according to The Guardian. UK 10-year gilt yield spikes in bond sell-off. The government bond sell-off is continuing this morning as investors continue to anticipate that Trumponomics will push up inflation. What do you make of that?
Well, on Italy, yes, there is going to be a lot of market anxiety, but I think the thing that people need to remember is there's no one going to let this government actually crumble to pieces. If Mr. Renzi stands down, he'll be replaced by a technocratic government. And one should remember that actually a lot of the no vote at the moment, or the tactical voting that's going on, is about trying to unseat Mr. Renzi rather than being against the constitutional reform. And historically, actually, when Italy gets a technocratic government, it tends to do rather better than when it actually has an activist government. So, yes, market turmoil there will be, and anxiety, but I can see it calming down quite quickly thereafter. In the UK, well, yeah, Trumponomics pushes up inflation, but on the other hand, we've got sterling testing its flash crash high levels. Perhaps that will help to dampen some of the inflation a little bit.
OK, let's move on to the next slide. So the Dow Jones posted fresh intraday all-time highs yesterday as fears of a Trump dump turned into optimism. Financials and healthcare continue to perform well on hopes of deregulation in both sectors, whilst the technology sector took a battering as worries over supply chains saw the Nasdaq down 0.8%, as you mentioned earlier. So gold is trading sideways this morning. However, it's on course for its first weekly decline in 4 weeks as US election uncertainty abates and the US dollar recovers to near 9-month highs, making the safe haven more expensive. And fears that a Trump presidency could postpone any Fed rate hikes have been obliterated in the aftermath of his surprise victory, putting increased pressure on the monetary policy sensitive metal. Anything you want to comment on there?
Well, I think with gold, it's really going to be more a case of it's suffering basically under the weight of its correlation with dollar yen. And for the time being, I can't really see much upside for gold. As long as you've got long-term US interest rates rising and the dollar rising and the yen falling, you would need to see that start to be turned around, really, for it to be very positive on gold.
Okay, next slide. Economic calendar, so we're moving across the pond with most things happening there. Anything that we really should be aware of or keep an eye on?
Michigan confidence, I think the only thing to say on that, as much as I don't like the survey, you know, the expectations is for it not to be much changed. It really depends when the data was collected, how much was collected after the election, how much before, and when we get the final reading at the end of the month, it's going to be very different to whatever we get today.
Okay, so next slide. Okay, so we're looking at the sentiment in the currency markets. Now, Zach, what do you make of this?
Well, I was quite delighted on behalf of the OANDA clients going into the Trump result. They had the spike. I hope they got out at 1330 plus because now they're looking as though they might be left high and dry. Got gold back at 1255 and really with your it's just a nightmare scenario really for gold. There's nothing really good on the horizon and you know now that you've had the flush out of the longs, well, I mean, it looks as though it could even go down to 12. I mean,
yes,
1,200 seems to be where it's itching to go.
Yep. Okay.
Euro dollar, the clients are long there. That's also quite an ambitious task, I think, at the moment, 108.50, the key support. Pound dollar is probably the one I would agree with. Going short of dollar yen, I don't think that's right either. But they are coming on side there with that euro sterling short, which the pound is strengthening against the euro quite well.
Okay, so not much time left. Let's go to the last slide here. So the Aussie against the dollar. What do we see here?
Basically, we've had that trying to push higher over the recent past, but I think it might be that we've seen the best of this in the near term, just with the gold situation, commodity currency. I think that's going to start hurting a bit on the on that. So sell around 76, I think, looks to be the correct thing there.
It ties in nicely with this rally in industrial metals perhaps being rather short-lived and fizzling out.
Mark, thanks so much. Coming up next, proactive investor share video.